Jeremiah chapter 17, and from verse 19 to the end of the chapter, verse 27. It's quite clear what this subject is. Jeremiah has to go and stand in the public place again at the gate of the people, the gate of the temple, the place where the kings pass through, the other gates as well, and speak to all the people, the kings, and all the people living in Jerusalem, and all who pass through the gates, maybe the gates of the temple, maybe the gates of the city. He has to go where the people are. And the subject is very clear, what he has to speak about, what he has to complain about, what he has to, the burden he has from God to bring to this people. And it is, of course, the Sabbath. The Sabbath. Now let us look at the passage. First of all, let us ask how this applied to the Jews, the people of Jerusalem, in Jeremiah's day. Well, of course, they're under the Old Covenant, and God gave the Sabbath to the Jews in the wilderness, Exodus 16, just before the giving of the law, combined with the giving of the manna. It's all of one piece. And it was a special sign. The Sabbath was a special sign, Ezekiel 20, for the Jews. It marked them out from all other people, as the law did in general, but the Sabbath in particular. They had to rest upon that day, and the whole point was rest. It is here in this passage in Jeremiah 17. It's all about carrying loads through the gates, carrying loads out of their houses, doing any work on the Sabbath. It's keeping the Sabbath day holy and so on. The whole point here is rest. There's no suggestion here that it was a gathering for worship, for public meetings. It was bringing loads, it was carrying burdens, it was doing work. The commandment itself is explicit. It's all about ceasing from work, for that's exactly what the word Sabbath means. It means ceasing, it means resting, it means giving up work. And it was a special day for the Jews, connected, central to the law, and in the mind of God, as he had revealed it to them. It was perhaps one of the great commandments, one of the leading commandments, because it was that sign which marked the Jews out as his people. As I say, Ezekiel chapter 20. Now the Jews clearly were breaking this commandment. It was a visible commandment. It was you could see whether the people were keeping the Sabbath or not. Not coveting and so on was much more difficult to measure, but the Sabbath was easy to observe, and the Jews were working like the pagans. They were carrying burdens through the city gates and working as an ordinary day. And Jeremiah is raised to proclaim to the people that if they carry on in this way, God will consume them with unquenchable fire. The last verse in the passage, verse 27. If, however, though they return to God in this matter and start keeping the Sabbath again, then he would bless them. If they thought carefully about it and gave up their work from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, our timing, then each week, then God would honor them and bless them. If they refused, then he would judge them severely. Now that is Jeremiah's burden here. And that is what he is preaching to the Jews. You have the law. You said you'll do everything that God says, but you're not. And he's calling, by his preaching, he is calling them back to repentance and reformation. And if they refuse, he is warning them of dreadful judgment. But he is making tremendous offers of mercy. God will forgive them if they come back and obey his word. Now what about us? Well, the Old Covenant, of course, was fulfilled and completed terminated by Christ, Romans 10, Galatians 3, and so on. This is the day of the gospel, not the law of Moses. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth have come by Jesus Christ, John 1:17. Now the letter to the Hebrews is very clear about this. There's a lot of misunderstanding about this. People think that the law was severe and the gospel is easy. Nothing can be further from the truth. Read Hebrews and see. If the judgments of the old covenant were severe, how much more severe, says the writer to the Hebrew, will disobedience to the new covenant be? To break Moses' law was bad. To break the law of Christ is even worse. To refuse the commandments of God under the law is one thing. But to refuse Christ in the gospel is altogether more severe. Now, what is the equivalent in the new covenant, in the gospel, to the Sabbath in the old covenant? Well, the Bible couldn't be clearer. Hebrews 3 and 4, Matthew 11, is very clear indeed. Remember the root meaning of the word, Sabbath, rest. Rest. Romans 3, 4, and 5 could not be more explicit. Let's put some of these passages together. Come unto me, says Christ, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You will find rest to your souls. Rest, rest, rest. What does Romans 3, 4, and 5 say? We need to be saved, for we are sinners. But under the wrath of God, this is made clear in the Romans. Romans 3, 4, and 5, what does it say? There are those who think they'll be saved by their works, by their deservings, by their earnings, by their merits, by their striving. No, no, no. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How? By resting in faith upon Jesus. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2. But going back to Romans 3, 4, and 5 again, Paul argues it out most thoroughly. If it's of works, then it can't be grace. If it's deservings, if it's earnings, if it's laboring, strivings, it can't be by grace. But it is by grace. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ, of course. There's the comparison. There's the contrast. Works, earnings, merits, deservings, strivings, and resting upon Christ. Paul works it out most thoroughly. Romans 3, 4, and 5, I say again. Abraham, for example. Did circumcision contribute? No. Did the law contribute? No. Well, how was he right with God then? Through faith. Through faith. And the lesson is clear. Rest in Christ, and you will have rest. Trust in Christ, and you will have peace with God. We have peace with God, Romans 5, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3 and 4, there remains a rest then for the people of God. Many people think this means eternity. Well, of course, the eternal rest is there, but it's rest now. And what is that rest? Ceasing from our works, relying upon Christ, trusting Christ and only Christ, learning to say, and from our hearts to say it, nothing in my hand I bring. Unbeliever, if you're listening to me, you are blessed of God to be living in the day of the gospel. And here is the gospel. You are a sinner. You need salvation, for you're under the wrath of God. Not that you will come into it. You are already condemned. Instinctively, you know this. You might suppress it, but you know it. And you're striving in some way or another to be right with God. Give up your striving. What do you mean, striving? Well, some people think they'll be baptized to be right with God. They'll go to church to be right with God. They'll go to the synagogue to be right with God. They'll go to the mosque to be right with God. They'll do their best to be right with God. They'll do the crackiest, the wackiest things, the stupidest things. Go up onto the mountains or do anything to get right with God. They'll strive in some way. They'll do their best. They'll try this. Nothing. Nothing There is nothing that you can do. The Sabbath is this. The Old Covenant Sabbath spoke of rest and peace. There is rest and peace on offer to you now, and it's in Jesus Christ. Let me repeat his words again to you. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And all unbelievers are weary and heavy laden. They're striving in some way or another to be right with God. Give up the striving. Call upon the name of the Lord. Rest in Christ. And you will find rest to your soul, peace with God, everlasting life. Now, if the Jews refused to keep the Sabbath, what happened? They were judged most severely. I'm not going to be melodramatic, my friend. I'm just going to tell you. If you refuse Christ, you will perish. I don't gloat over that. And in fact, I plead with you. Don't perish. There is no need. So give up your religion. Give up your religiosity. Give up your works. Just cast yourself upon Christ, your sins, your all upon Christ, and he will give you rest. His blood will wash away your sins, and you will have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the word for the unbeliever. If you're listening to me, trust in Christ now. But what is the word to the believer? Well, like the Jews, my friend, under the Old Covenant, we believers are under, in a parallel sense, the law of Christ. Read John 13 to 16. John 13 to 16. There's the law of Christ. But it's throughout the New Testament. The apostles gave us the law of Christ. And what is this law of Christ? That we must, well, it's all throughout the New Testament, as I've said. I've given you these principal chapters. Now, what must we do with the law of Christ? Well, we'll frame it and put it on the wall and have a look at it every day. No. God expects us and wants us to do his word. You say, but this is the new covenant. I've already reminded you. If the punishments for breaking the law of Moses were severe, how much more so for the new covenant? I've already spoken to the unbeliever. What punishment will it be if a man will not receive Christ? Everlasting damnation. You can't get more severe than that. Now, believer, what about you? We're under Christ. Yes, read Hebrews and see. The warning passages are real. And what is the warning? You'll find it in the center of that passage I mentioned just now. John 13 to 16. Chapter 15. What is the core sin in the new covenant? What is the leading sin? It is not to abide in Christ. It is to depart from Christ. Abide in me, he says. Abide in me. Do not leave me. So what is the application here? I'm speaking to believers. Are you playing fast and loose with the law of Christ? Shame on you, my brother. Shame on you, my sister. Shame on myself. Let us be men and women of the new covenant. Let us keep Christ's commands and run in his ways and delight our hearts in him. We have his Spirit to help us. Let us do it. But is there one who's listening to me who is backsliding? You're leaving Christ. You're gone back into the world. You are in a fearful state, my friend. Come back to Christ now. He will give you rest again. He will restore the years that the locust has eaten. Come back to him. You're playing with fire. Don't stay in that awful position. Return to the Lord. Rest your soul in Christ again. If you have to say, where is the blessedness I knew? Then first I saw the Lord. Then learn to say this. Help me, the dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. There is a way back. It's Christ. It's the way you came in the beginning. Return to the Lord. Is there one here who is thinking of leaving Christ? Your heart is growing cold toward him. Then learn from Jeremiah 17. Do not forsake Christ. Go to John 15 and see. Abide in him. Go to the Hebrews and read the letter and see. Rest your soul in Christ. Stay in Christ. Cling to Christ. He will hold you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not leave him or forsake him. This, it seems to me, is the lesson for us in Jeremiah 17. The Jews, it was the Sabbath, the law. For us in the New Covenant, in the Gospel Day, what is it? It is Christ. If you have never come to Christ, come to Him now. If you are in Christ, remain in Him. Look to Him for everything. Give up struggling. Look to Christ. There are works to be done, but the motive and the spring and the energy for it all is Christ. So rest your soul in Christ for assurance, for sanctification, for peace, for joy, for fruitfulness, for sweetness, for delight, for pleasure, whatever it might be. May it all be found in Christ, for in Christ alone is all the treasures of the Godhead bodily, and Christ is all. So that is the lesson here. The Sabbath for us, my friend, is Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Will you stay with Him? Will you love Him more? Will you rest your soul in Him? Knowing Christ is to have peace with God. Never leave Him. Never forsake Him.